Hello, I'm Jesse Wowles from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. So you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word, read the passage, and then we'll cut to me with the children's talk. So if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll have the sermon. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. By your word, you created light from darkness. You called things that were not as though they were, and they came to be. And by your word, you call people to believe the gospel and give them life through your Spirit. So we pray you'd give us wisdom and understanding as we look to your word, convict us, and show us our need for Jesus. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, let's read Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonour their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And now, it's over to the children's talk. Hi everyone, I am here with two of my kids, Kai and Ellie. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Now, I want you to tell me what this is.
Your hat.
My hat. That is exactly right. Who made this hat? Do you know?
No.
You don't know? What if you had a look in here? Can you see something that might tell you?
The brand says Rivers, so it's someone in a Rivers company.
Someone in the Rivers company made this, that's exactly right. Yes, my hat comes from Rivers. What about this? Who made this? Oh, yeah, first, what is it?
Chuck Banana Brownie.
Chuck Banana Brownie, that's exactly right. Who made those Chuck Banana Brownies?
Mum.
That's exactly right. Mum made those Chalk Banana Brownies, and they are delicious. What's this?
Your phone.
My phone. Do you know who made this phone?
It's someone from the...
Someone from the phone company, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard phone company name to say. But engineers and different high-tech people who were involved in making this phone. Lots of people were involved in making this phone. What's this?
The map of the world.
A map of the world. That's exactly right. Who made the world?
God.
How do you know that?
Because who else could have made it?
That.
He made you.
That is a very good answer. Now let me read this verse from the Bible. It says, "What can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." Okay, those are some verses in the passage that we're looking at church. Those verses say that God made the world, and everyone can see that God made the world. And you are exactly right, Ellie. Everyone can see it, because who else could make it? Do we think that the world could just pop into existence on its own?
That's impossible.
It's impossible for something to just appear into existence, isn't it? If you were to walk along the road and you saw a phone along the ground, would you think that had just popped into existence?
No.
No. It came from somewhere, didn't it?
Yeah, it came from someone.
That's right. And the world has come from someone. The world has come from God. What can we learn about God? What do we know about God from creation?
That God is all-powerful.
That is a very good answer. God is all-powerful. Because how else could he make the world? This world is so big, so amazing. God must be very powerful to make the world. What else do we learn about God from the world? Can you think of anything else?
No.
Well, here's something, maybe. God loves beauty. God loves beauty because he made a beautiful world. He made a world that is full of beauty, lots of flowers and colours. God is a God who is very clever because he made such amazing, clever things. Do you know, we all know, all people know, that there is a God who made the world. Even when we think we don't know, actually we do know. Because we just can't help realizing it. Just like when we walk along the road and we see a phone and we think, oh, that's come from somewhere. We know that this world has come into existence by a powerful God. And how do we get to know this God? Ellie?
By the Bible.
By the Bible, that's right. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you made this world and you made us. We thank you that you made it so clear that you have made this world and you even teach us things about yourself through the world. But we thank you especially that you haven't just left us with creation to tell us about you, but you have actually spoken your word to us and we can read it in the Bible. So help us to do that. Help us to learn more about you and to grow in our love for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
About 10 years ago, I started having some serious pain in my pelvis. But weirdly, the pain was never the same day to day. Some days it would be on my right hip and then on my left. Sometimes it was on the outside of my leg, then on the inside. It'd go from sharp pain, so sharp I'd need help from Beck to get dressed, and later it'd be dull. And then, to top it all off, I could go for ages without any pain at all. So I went to the doctor, and he was useless. So I went to another doctor and had an x-ray. Nothing. I'm not sure they believed me. Would you, with that description? But I persisted. Something was wrong. I wanted an answer. So I was sent to get an MRI by a specialist, and at the next appointment, I was given the news. They discovered I have an autoimmune disease called ankylosing spondylitis. It's a form of arthritis that, if untreated, would fuse the joints in my hip and spine. There's no cure. How would you react to that news? Worried? Depressed? I felt relief. Finally, I had a diagnosis. I wasn't crazy. It was real. Even before learning there was treatment, a diagnosis made a difference. Romans 1:18-32 is our diagnosis. It's the bad news that explains everything. Our world feels wrong in ways we can't quite explain by ourselves. We ask why when bad things happen. We need the truth so we can understand ourselves. Because I can't even live up to my own expectations, and I need to know why. In the second half of Romans 1, Paul puts us under the MRI and gives us bad but much needed news. It tells us what's really wrong with the world and us. God is revealing his anger. That's the main point of this passage. It's the very first sentence, verse 18. God is revealing his anger. And it tells us the why, verses 18 to 23. And the how, verses 24 to 32. Have you braced yourself for this diagnosis? Are you ready to hear the bad news? God is revealing his anger. Why? Because we've rejected him. How? By giving us over to sin. Let's look at the why in verses 18 to 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. This is the core of the problem. We've suppressed the truth in verse 18. Horribly, some people deny that the Holocaust actually happened. They deny the suffering, torture, death, theft of Nazi Germany. But even worse, we suppress the truth that God exists. It's a truth we all know. We can see from the fact that there is a world around us that God exists. But we hide from it. We shove that truth down deep inside, and we manage to convince ourselves that God isn't really there. How do we suppress this truth? Sometimes with science. That's what Richard Dawkins, the famous atheist, does. He points to evolution and says, "See, we don't need God. Everything is just chance and mutation." Is that how you view things? We don't need God because we have science? But Paul says in verse 20 that we can see God's invisible attributes, his power and divine nature, the characteristics that make him God. We can see them in the creation. As you watch the sun set in a cascade of incredible pink, purple, red and yellow, you're confronted by a beauty that's without comparison. As you hold a baby in your arms, you know it couldn't be an accident. But some go down the religious route. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Instead of worshipping the incorruptible God, we trade him for something else, images, verse 23. We willingly trade down. It's not often someone exchanges their Jag for a Toyota or a diamond for a fake, but that's what's happened here. Maybe you believe in a God of some kind, but it's not the God of the Bible, the Creator God. It's a trade down. And so God is angry. We suppress the truth. We hide from God. We claim to be wise, but really, we're hiding from the truth. We're fools. We worship and serve created things. Even the atheist does. That's who we are. We've been made to worship something, and if we aren't worshiping God, we worship a statue, or a river, or money, or success, social status. What do you worship? What are you most afraid of losing? Maybe that's your God. It's a tragic thing we've all done. We've stuffed the truth of God deep down into the darkness, desperate not to see the God who made all things, who gives us everything we have. God deserves our adoration and thanksgiving, but we pretend he doesn't exist. And we have no excuse, verse 20. And so, back to our diagnosis in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed. But how is God revealing his wrath? Paul's grabbed his stethoscope and answered that question too. God is revealing his wrath by giving us over to sin. Specifically, in verses 24 to 27, by giving us over to a lustful heart. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonour their bodies among themselves. When we were reading the passage, was this what you expected? God's angry because we've traded him in for a cheap knockoff. This is the God who sent the flood and who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He knows how to judge. And so we gear up, ready to hear how God is revealing his anger, and we hear that he gave us over to sin. Were you expecting fire and brimstone? What's going on here? It was sin that made him angry with us, and to show his anger, he lets us sin? Instead of destroying us, he gives us over to our sinful desires, particularly to sexual immorality, verse 24. Why is this his judgment? There's a clue here. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonour their bodies among themselves. God gives us what we want because it makes us dirty. He lets us roll around in the mud. We get to have our short-term fun sliding in the mud, but eventually, consequences come. We get mud in our eyes and we don't have anything to clean it out with. It gets in our mouth and there's nothing to wash it with. We enjoy sexual impurity and we reap the consequences. Porn leads to dissatisfaction in sex. Lustful looks from men make women feel like meat. Sex outside marriage leads to a greater heartbreak when you break up, STIs or unwanted pregnancy. Girls are disrespected. Paul said that all these things that look like natural consequences aren't natural at all. They're God's judgment. Verse 25 then backtracks. In verse 23, we exchanged the glory of the immortal God. Now we've exchanged the truth of God. And then he expands on the judgment, on the handing over to sexual immorality in verses 26 to 27. And as we read verses like those, we wish that we were a bit like Marcion. Marcion lived in the 2nd century AD, and he'd cut stuff out of the Bible that he didn't like. He hated the Old Testament, so he cut it out, along with anywhere the New Testament quoted the Old. Wouldn't you love to cut this out of the Bible? Listen, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error which was due. How much easier would life be if we could do a Marcion? Get the scissors and cut that out. No more accusations of bigotry, only love and acceptance. These are hard words. Maybe they offend you. Maybe you're attracted to people of the same sex and now you're angry or depressed. Maybe you think I'm attacking you. I hope not. But let me remind you, this is our diagnosis. This is the bad news we all need to hear. These verses are only part of the story when it comes to homosexuality. And so if you want to talk about it, please do get in contact with us. But these verses are an extremely important part of the story. We can't ignore them. We can't wish them away. We need to hear them. Paul says that homosexual sex is unnatural and sinful. Our government explicitly attacks that language, but it's what God's word says. It's exchanging the natural relationship of men with women. Just like we exchanged God, the one we should naturally worship in verse 23, the punishment is that we exchange natural sexual relationships for unnatural ones. Of course, not everyone struggles with this. And those who struggle with this are no worse than the rest of us. But part of God's judgment for our rejection of him is that some experience the due penalty of homosexuality, the confusion, hurt, and disordered relationships. We've exchanged the natural worship of God to the unnatural worship of idols. So God is revealing his anger. He gave us over to our sin, to a depraved heart. In verses 24 to 27. And now Paul gives us the results of our EEG. God's also given us over to a debased mind. In verses 28 to 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. This is the third time God said to give us up. In verse 24, it was to the lusts of our hearts. In verse 26, it was to vile passions. And now, it's to a debased mind. And just like those other two, it's because of our idolatry. We didn't think it was worth it to know God and to live for him. And so he gave us over to a debased mind, again to suffer the painful results of our sin. He lets us play in the mud. Verse 29 says we've become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. This is our diagnosis, and it's the news we need to hear. It's spelled out for us in the rest of the paragraph what that means. Vice after vice, evil after evil. And God, in his judgment and anger, lets us. He lets us be full of envy. Why is that a judgment? Because it ruins our relationships. Instead of being happy for people when they get something good or new, or rejoicing that they have that personality type or those gifts, I resent them. I want it, and so I take it from them. Or I badmouth them. I get suspicious of how they got it. Small scale, it ruins friendships. Large scale, it starts wars. And down through the list in verses 29 to 31, we read of sin that tears us apart, leaving us broken, suspicious, hurt, confused, sullen, angry. And as you read the list, doesn't it look like our world? And if you're honest, doesn't it explain you? How many of these can you honestly say that you aren't guilty of? Maybe one? Two, the diagnosis rings true. And then we read the tragedy of verse 32, knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. We drink the poison we know will lead to death, and we celebrate when others drink the same poison. We know that we deserve death, Paul says. We've always known God's righteous decree, even if we've never heard the words. Because, as chapter 2 will tell us, our own consciences condemn us. We know we're doing the wrong thing, but we're happy to compete with each other about how annoying our in-laws are to watch that immoral movie or TV show. God is revealing his anger. We've rejected him, so he hands us over to our sin. He could have wiped us out immediately, but he's waiting, letting us suffer the effects of our sin first. He hands us over to a lustful heart and a depraved mind. He hands us over to our sin. This passage should completely shake our view of God, sin, judgment, and ourselves. First, does it shake your view of God? Maybe you've never thought of God being angry before. You've always thought of him as a generous father, a wise and caring friend, always there to lend you a helping hand. Or maybe you have known that God is angry, but you've only ever connected that idea to the day of judgment. You know that God hates sin and is biding his time before unleashing that anger, judging the wickedness of the world. Can you see how neither view is quite right? God is revealing his anger, Paul says. This God isn't a pushover, and he's not waiting to unleash his anger. He's unleashing his burning anger right now. Second, this shakes our view of sin and judgment. God hands those who've rejected him over to their sin. They experience the consequences of that sin. He's handed us over to the sexual revolution. But free sex isn't free. It comes at a price. Divorce, single parents doing it tough, teen pregnancies, confusion, heartache, guilt, and shame. He's handed us over to greed. Companies collapse, and employees and creditors are left in the lurch because some people at the top were doing shady things to get more money for themselves. These aren't just the natural consequences of sin. They're divine judgment. God is revealing his anger now on a world that's exchanged the truth for a lie, the eternal God for images of mortal things. We didn't want to know God, so our world is dark with sin. And third, this shakes our view of ourselves. Despite thinking that we're good people, we celebrate sin. Every year we have parades for sexual immorality, full of nakedness and indecent acts. It's called freedom, natural. But we've exchanged the natural for unnatural. We've traded the good and pure for wicked and dirty. And we like it. We rave about the movie that's full of violence and sex. We celebrate sin. You might think this doesn't describe you. You're a Christian, or you're at least not as wild as these words say. Maybe next week we'll hit home a bit more, but don't start assuming you're off the hook. Use these words to see who you naturally are. Isn't this depressing? Our entire inner being, heart and mind, given over to sin as judgment. And I know what you're waiting for. You're waiting for me to get to Jesus, to get to the cross and forgiveness. But Paul hasn't gotten there yet, and so I'm not going to either. He's mentioned the gospel, that it's the power of God for salvation, that God's revealing his righteousness in verses 16 and 17. But before he explains it, before he gives us the cure for this dreadful disease we have, he wants us to understand how bad our situation really is. We've rejected God, and his anger is white hot. We like playing with our sin, and so we get burned. And Paul will spend another chapter and a half talking about this. Before he explains the gospel, he wants us to really know how bad our situation is. The eternally open eye of God is on us, watching us as we sin against him, as we reject him, and God lets us do it. Finally, we know what's wrong. Aren't you thankful that Paul didn't do a Marcion, but had the guts to tell us what's really wrong? It's not religion's fault, like the atheist might believe. It's not desire's fault, like the Buddhist thinks. They've misdiagnosed the problem. God is angry with humanity. More, he's revealing his anger by letting us drown in our sin. We can't save ourselves from this. We don't even want to. We rejoice in our sin. We revel in it. But we need to be saved. Paul's told us that there is salvation. There is righteousness that God is ready to give us. There is hope. But we're not there yet in Romans. We need a second appointment. Right now in Romans, God is angry and revealing his anger. This is our world. This is us, our diagnosis. God is angry, and we need help. But there's hope. Let's pray. Our Lord, we know we are full of sin. Every day we fail. Every day we do what is evil in your sight. Please show us our sin. Convict us of it. Give us a greater sense of your glory. Make us so love you that we wouldn't dream of exchanging the truth for a lie anymore, that we wouldn't trade you in for what we sinfully desire. We know we are unworthy, but we're so thankful that in your love you sent Christ. Thank you that when we believe in him, we're given his righteousness. So please cleanse us. Change us and give us a greater faith that we would live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Jesse Wolls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. We'd love to have you join us physically next Sunday at 10 a.m. If you're not a Christian, but you're curious to know more about Jesus, the Church, what Christians believe, then today at 4 p.m. we're hosting Grill a Christian. I'll speak on the question, who really believes in fairy tales, Christians or atheists? After that, you'll be free to ask questions in a relaxed environment. Grill a Christian starts at 4 p.m. at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, 75A Victoria Street. You can contact us through Facebook, Instagram or our website if you'd like. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. God bless you.